In 72.
Okay, so I'd like to call this first monthly meeting of the Port of Port Townsend for Wednesday, June 13th to order. Stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, so we have a motion to approve the agenda.
No changes?
Seeing the agenda?
Yep, seeing the agenda, no changes.
I second that motion.
I'll make the motion to approve the agenda.
Second, all in favor?
Aye.
Agenda's passed, including the consent agenda.
Whoops.
Oh, no.
Wait a minute. Not the consent agenda.
No, just the agenda.
Yeah, so now, do we have any public comments? And this is also related to the consent agenda?
No public comments.
Oh, okay, I knew it was George.
I can't help myself. Thank you for a very productive morning workshop. One of the neatest ones I've seen in a long, long time. That's one item. The other is, in the news last week was a discussion in the PDN regarding John Wayne Marina and the issues in the article are the exact same issues that you're dealing with Point Hudson. And it just goes to show we are not immune to looking at issues like how are we going to pay for things and whether we're going to privatize or not. So just to let you know, you're not alone.
Thank you. Any other comments? Okay. Then the consent agenda. Do I have a motion to accept the consent agenda?
Make that motion.
Second.
Reservations, but that's
okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Consent agenda is passed. Okay, we have no second reading, so the first reading is going to be a reading on alternative fuels, a draft resolution. Go ahead, staff.
I'll turn to Mr. Schmelich for an introduction to this issue coming up for a lot of public entities.
So, commissioners, the legislature passed a law in 2015 that contemplated that by June 1st, 2018, two things would happen. One is state agencies and local governments would convert their fleets to alternative fuels, being electricity and biofuels. There is a requirement for those entities that consume more than 200,000 gallons of diesel or gasoline a year to specifically report. But everybody else still has to try and meet this goal. The Department of Commerce passed a code on this in the WAC, and they said that they recognize that for smaller governments, it is going to be occurring on an analysis when you replace rolling stock. So you're going to look at rolling stock and say, is it practicable to change over to electric or diesel or biofuels? And so what this resolution says is right now it's not practical to change all our fleet over. And as we go through, as the Port of Port Townsend goes through and makes replacement decisions on vehicles, a factor that will be considered is the practicality of going with an electric or a biofuel piece of equipment. It's our thought that this is going to start showing up as an audit issue, whether or not you've taken action and at least considered this. And so this is a resolution we prepared. We sent to a number of ports that says, look, we've looked at this. We're not going to change today. But as we go through and buy things, we're going to take a look and see if that's practical. So you should expect when your staff comes in and says we're going to buy a new port vehicle, that they have looked at whether or not electric or biofuels is a viable alternative at that site. And they take into account life cycle costing is what the WAC says.
So just for the argument, is ethanol is a biofuel, so any gasoline that's purchased with E10 or E15, is that considered a biofuel for this regulation?
I don't know the answer to that question. I don't think so, but I don't know. That's not my end of it. I don't know if staff's had an opportunity to look at the WAC or not, but there's a WAC in it that tells you a little thing about it.
How come state ferries don't have to run biofuel?
It's probably not practicable to do that to them, but I don't know the answer to that.
They're investigating. I guess they're investigating hybrid.
Yeah, they're going to go to LNG, but still, if I guess that's kind of an important point to find out, because if biofuel, well, first of all, biofuel would be diesel with bio in it, and the most bio you can get in diesel around here is B20, I think. That's not much more than the ethanol that you buy at the gas pump, which you can get in B15, or E15. So, unless you go full electric, and we were just discussing that our mix of vehicles are not really passenger cars, and they don't really make electric pickups yet. We kind of stupid,
but they're really not cost effective.
No.
Does the WAC stipulate the bio?
Yeah, the part I read, for the legal part, no, it doesn't. It just says, okay, consider the use of biofuels and electrically powered vehicles.
It's kind of general, but they're just want everybody to start moving this direction before I think they put really strict mandates, but you're going to be required to demonstrate you've done some due diligence. Mm-hmm.
So in other words, to make it kind of crystal clear, you can't get anything more than B20 around here, which is only 20% biofuel. Mm-hmm. You can get E15 or E10 at the gas pump. So those are biofuels. And so for all practical purposes, the biofuels that are available, we're already utilizing.
Yeah.
So and that would be your practicality analysis, but you don't do that until you know, it's not practical to retrofit anything at this point, so it's going to be a consideration when you buy replacement vehicles.
So then what does that mean for our resolution?
Just pass the resolution, it goes in the file, the state auditor shows up and says we did consider that, and the next time we buy something, we're going to take a hard look at it.
You know, I would, Mr. Chair, recommend that we just fast forward this, do a unanimous vote on whether you want to vote on it today and vote on it today.
I mean,
is there really a reason to leave it for a second?
No, but I...
This is just a draft, though, and it's not...
Oh.
I don't know.
Okay.
Just bring that to your attention.
Where does it say draft? Oh,
well, it's the exact resolution that Frank sent to us, and it's... I didn't know...
We can easily bring it forward to you before ready for signature on that the next meeting. Anyway.
So, Commissioner, answer your question in the WAC 194-29-020. Biofuel means a liquid or gaseous fuel derived from organic matter intended for use as transportation fuel, including but not limited to biodiesel, renewable diesel, ethanol, renewable natural gas, and renewable propane.
There you go. Organic like dinosaur?
And renewable diesel means diesel derived from organic matter that's been purified to meet requirements for use as a transportation fuel.
In other words, they're not saying pure biofuel, they're just saying biofuel. We're only utilizing that, so. I mean, this seems kind of like a silly thing. What's going to change in the draft? What's that?
Nothing's going to change from the draft.
Right. So, can we just say, I mean, this is a policy, so we really want to do 2 touches.
Okay.
All right, so we'll listen to it, and we'll vote on it next time.
Yeah, simple thing is that somebody will go and take the draft off here and pass it back to us. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Next thing is regular business, funding alternatives, opportunities for the Point Hudson jetty.
And Mr. Chairman, this was brought forward at really your request. It was an opportunity for the commission to have a discussion to give direction as to what next steps are for looking at the Point Hudson jetty south and to be able to have that discussion along with the staff so we can see what the parameters of how you wish us to proceed.
Exactly, and I think what prompted this is that when the governor and those people came by last week to look at the Adventurous, I had a chance to talk with him and also to talk to Mike Chapman. And as you know, we didn't get any consensus on this from the commission, but at the last meeting, and I suggested that the way to go forward on the jetty is to start looking at other additional funding sources, getting our current, our local ones together and get commitments, and then go out and look for more. And so, just coincidentally, the governor just had just stayed at Point Hudson 2 weeks prior and just had a great time. And he was so excited, showing pictures that he'd taken and all that. And he was, and I said, you know, Governor, there's a problem up there. We're having some issues on funding. And Mike Chapman was standing there, and he says, yes, he's aware of that. And then he said that, so we started talking with Mike, and he said that he talked to Sam earlier, because we alternated vacations. I was on vacation, and Sam talked to Mike, and then Sam went on vacation, and I talked to Mike. But the point is that the conversations that I was looking for, and one of the places I was going to start looking for funding, was outside their area. We know there's funding inside, but if we can get a commitment so that people can see a way forward, oh yeah, there's a light at the end of this tunnel, we could probably get our local city and county people to convene their PIF fund meeting, which hasn't happened yet, and to look into LTAC, which was promised by the city manager a while ago. But then when we find out what those quantities are, Mike Chapman said what you need to do is to get all of your players in the area together and come to the legislature, and then when you make your request as a unified body, it'll be impossible for us to say no. And what he was referring to was what used to be called an earmark is now called a proviso. So I'm thinking that what we need to do, this is what I would like to have staff do, is to figure out all of the ways that they could say, oh, have you checked this? Or a way that they could put us on hold, and that would be to, when we go, so have you checked with Congress, or have you checked with historical societies, or have you checked with this? Go through and figure out what those are, and there's liable to be some small pots of money at Congress or at historical things. Go through those, figure out what they are, so that when we go to the legislature, we can say, yes, we've checked all those boxes. And then get people together, which I've already had a conversation with Jake, and he's on board. I need to have a conversation with our other Kate Dean, and probably you guys could have them with your district representatives. And I'll be talking with Deb. But then also other folks like Betsy from the Wind School, and Catherine from the Adventurous, and these people like that say, yes, and all come together and take that proposal down to the legislature. That was my idea. And so I guess that my thing to have on the funding alternatives is to just say we need to start working at that and see if we can together give staff direction to proceed in that fashion.
I had a similar conversation with Steve Theringer at the Pilots Memorial and Commemoration, essentially what Mike is saying is that, you know, you've got some local private funds in the pot, you've got your bond in the pot. You can get some LTAC money and some infrastructure fund money, you know, kind of come with all that stuff and say, you know, we've done this much and we're this much short. Mm-hmm. And I did talk to I previously had conversations with Deborah Stinson and Kate Dean about this issue, and I did have a conversation the other night after the county plan hearing with David
Sullivan
about the same subject, and he's, you know, kind of pushing him in the direction of getting the infrastructure funds committee going. He says he's got the seats on that committee pretty much pulled up, and we need to put together an ask, mm-hmm, from them. Mm-hmm. But he thinks that it ties in with jobs and all the things that they need to tie in with that fund. So we need to just get that done.
Right. So what we need to do is actually figure out an amount to ask for and then determine if that's going to, and then put some pressure on, because I've been told that the, because I'm the representative that's populating our seat on the PNF board, I've been told we're going to have that meeting back in November and January. So we need to, you know, make it happen.
And how much money is in the PIF fund?
I don't know.
There's about, in somewhat in excess of $650,000 currently in the fund.
Some of it's already earmarked, I think.
Yeah. No, that's the available amount.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought there was more. I thought it was more like $900,000.
Yeah. I will note that, should the commission choose that, we could come back with a strategy to move forward for very different funding sources. My first blush is that it is likely going to delay the project until the construction season of 2020-2021, because we would not have funds available from a proviso, she would be fortunate enough to receive that until July of next year, which is, of course, too late to bid the project.
Right.
So it will take some time to put together the alternative funding strategy. We have been thinking of some steps that we can put in there, as well as some additional efforts that we might make in trying to keep the cost in check, or perhaps even lower it. So we can bring that back for commission, but I do want to be realistic about our time frame on it, and that this will likely not be available for next summer's construction season.
Which brings up another point, and that is that I think that this ask should not just be for the South Jetty. I think it should be for both North and South.
I would agree with the chair. I think that if we're going to do this, we should definitely try to realize the cost savings that come from doing the project all at once, address some of the disruption of that will happen from the project by doing it all at once, and just try to get the best value that we can by combining the projects.
If we can get out ahead of this and get our ducks in a row early and get the Maritime Center, you know, notified that we're going to have this going on, you know, a year and a half or 2 years out, then we can actually work real hard with them to you know, relocate the festival, Wooden Boat Festival, 1 year, and get that squared away. Work with Sea Marine and Puget Sound Express to mitigate their issues.
Okay.
So then you're going to be bringing back some strategies.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Just to add, what is the strategy with the engineers at this point in terms of rewinding and restarting, coming up to 100% design on the jetty?
Well, we do have 100% design. And that's what went out to bid. What we likely bring forward is some type of an analysis for constructability, and I've reached out to one other firm to say, can you really take a look at this design and give us input on how this might be constructed and sequenced in a way to give us the best dollar value.
Was this a firm that bid on the project?
No, it was not. It's a separate engineering firm. So we might consider doing that. So I'll put that in the mix of here's some strategies that we can use going forward, of, you know, do constructability analysis, look for alternative funding, look at being able to give, you know, very ample notice on and be able to construct during the fish window when it opens July 15th. So we can put all those together. As far as Mott McDonald goes, Eric has been working with them and on some debrief on from the bid roster that we developed. And I don't know where you've gotten to with that. Eric, Mr. Davis, can you fill us in?
Sure. I mean, just some initial outreach to the bidders to find out how we might have realize some cost savings. and with the outreach principally being to American and Orion thus far, and looking at basically two kind of types of changes in the way we might approach the project. Number one, tweaks to the design itself that might result in some cost savings. For instance, going from a concrete cap to a steel cap, and without materially or significantly, you know, changing the anticipated useful life of the structure, maybe somewhat, but trying to see if there are some savings that we could attain. Another would be potentially downscoping the project slightly, and that would focus not on the landward or the seaward legs of the jetty per se, but on the retaining wall within the marina. So here, this discussion, I should say, is not looking at the context of the north and the south together, but just as at the project that was bid and how we might do it differently. So downscope, maybe some tweaks to the design. And then the second category is just kind of work hours and when and the kind of the time frame for completion of the project and you know, what kind of difference that made in their bids, and whether we might realize significantly lower bids, for instance, with an early start date and with few to no restrictions on the hours of work and navigation channel clear other than those required by the permits themselves and city code. So just trying to get the metrics on some of that as best we can to help inform your decisions.
So you're looking at that information from the guys who were actually asked to bid it, right? Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Instead of an engineer estimate we have. This is the guy that was asked to work in the wintertime. He's going to tell us this is the difference.
Correct.
Good, thanks.
I would really like to see, I mean, what you're describing on there, if you want to shut it down July 15th and really shut it down in order to more than we were talking about in terms of that those summer months. It's not you. I'm not saying you, but I'm just saying that's the what ifs. So I think I would also like to see American and Orion or whoever comment on shutting it down after December 15th, having a full and complete closure, and what that would mean to the project.
After December 15th?
No, I mean after September 15th. Mm-hmm. Sorry, wrong month. You know, give them a carte blanche to just shut it down at that point.
Right.
Okay.
You heard me think back probably about the grant and whether or not it could be extended. Now we're talking about 2-year extension.
We're talking about a 2-year extension. Again, a formal request has not been submitted. What has happened is basically communications with RCO staff who have in turn been in communication with U.S. Fish. And I think, you know, what reading the kind of by inference as much as anything else, the statements made by RCO staff is I kind of feel like we need some greater clarity on our overall strategy to fund the project so that we can describe that cogently and persuasively in the request so that they understand that that this just isn't kicking the can down the road to, you know, potentially reach the same unfortunate result that we have presently arrived at, but rather that we really do have a credible path to ensure that the project is funded. So, you know, how far to take that, you know, I want to have some follow-on discussions with RCO staff, but just feel that we need, I think, some greater clarity as an organization, and this discussion today is helpful in that regard, to begin to describe to the funding agencies how it is that we're going to pull this project off.
You see us going back to examine a cage structure is there three options where we temporarily fix what we have, we encase it basically, we build a cage structure, or we build a structure that's been designed by Mott?
Yeah, so, you know, I'll just preface this by saying, you know, I'm getting my advice from the project engineer here, and you know, what I've heard consistently is that building, trying to do targeted repairs was, in their view, unwise because it was, there were multiple modes of failure, and it was very difficult to identify where the limited rehab area or project might be focused, given the state of disrepair. And Shane kind of has said on a couple of occasions, somewhat offhandedly, but a little bit, but pretty clearly, that it might be more cost effective to respond in the interim before you do the full demo and replacement on kind of an ad hoc emergency basis, if necessary, rather than trying to get out in front. The caged structure, trying to encase what's there, sort of a different design option. Again, they were not enthusiastic about that option. They thought it would be very costly and not provide very costly, actually, both from a permitting and offsite mitigation standpoint, as well as construction standpoint. I think that rather than using me as sort of the shuttle diplomat here, that it would be helpful for you to have the opportunity to ask these questions directly of Shane and Evan. And I would suggest that we have them here either at a workshop or a regular meeting in the very near future, so that we can dig a little bit deeper into some of these issues and you can hear it directly from them rather than me.
Sounds like a workshop to me. But
yeah. Yeah, I think so too. I think it'd be very worthwhile because I've heard some ideas that I think bear merit, and that is just going and taking your hollow steel pile, putting it around one of the existing piles that are old and one of the inside existing piles, and then you're using the pile as a guide, drive it in, you leave the rocks there, then you have a narrower base so that you get some mitigation effect by taking the outer piles out. And apparently there's some people that have said that they can look at this or do it. So maybe getting some background information on that so that we can ask some knowledgeable questions of Shane in this workshop.
Yeah. I think it would be really helpful for staff to kind of have some of these concerns and questions or ideas that you've been kicking around clearly identified so that we can communicate those so that they can be prepared to address them.
Is it your understanding that under their contract right now that's within their scope, or do we have to perhaps do an addendum?
We probably would need to do an addendum as to scope. I think we're still within budget. The one thing, and I'll apologize in advance, you've probably heard me say this far too many times than you care to hear, and that is that the funding agencies, again, what we're hearing is very unlikely to approve a major deviation from the design that was kind of the basis of the funding decision in the first instance, which was demolition and replacement. Tweaks to the design, probably okay, maybe some minor downscope, maybe okay, but that was a push. But when we're talking about doing targeted repairs, we're doing a radically different design, the funding that we have in hand would likely be in jeopardy.
So I think last time I asked, and there was something like a half a megabuck we spent on this project here, one way or another. A lot of it paid by the grant we got. I assume that if we go off on a tangent and the RCO says we're out, that we owe a half megabyte to pay them back.
We would refund if we got another grant and forego the remaining.
If we got another grant, then is there any way to recover that half megabyte or out, or are we just out?
Well, and the grant funds, to be clear, expended and reimbursed to date are like
$176,000. Okay.
Our, the port cost in total is about a half a million. So, including grant eligible.
But I think there's about 780 remaining of grant funds.
Yeah, I've stopped billing at this point. On hold.
So we'll have some continuing research to do. I don't have an anticipated time to bring this back to you on your schedule. That's our next item for discussion, and I can put some more thought in there. And then we might bring this back. We'll talk with Martha Dunn about coming forward. So.
Okay. Ask one question, because the other piece that was part of this is the bond.
Is what?
The bond.
Oh, okay.
And what are we telling bond council, financial advisor?
I thought we voted on this last meeting.
Yeah, I thought we were going to pay them some for what we, a little stipend for the work they did, and we're going to put it on hold.
It's on hold.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right.
Right now, yes.
So it's still on hold.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What's on hold?
Paying the bond.
No, the bond, issuance of the bond.
Yes. Yeah, so.
Okay.
Well, we want to have these guys work for us again, willingly, so we don't want to leave them hanging out.
Two things are being said here. One is you're saying that the paying them some sort of a stipend. Sam is saying that the bond is still going.
Right, no, we're saying.
I thought the bond we voted on to not do.
We did.
You voted to indefinitely postpone it, and for us to bring back a analysis for comparing the option of other financing options. We said that we would do that after we have a workshop on the capital projects, which is next week. So we'd like to have a discussion about what other capital projects need to be accomplished, and then bring to you alternatives of whether or not we might pursue a line of credit with then wrapping it into a bond with, when we have some bonds coming due in 2020. So we're going to bring a couple different financing scenarios to you that include the repurposing of the existing bond and lowering of the amount for use on other capital projects.
According to the minutes, Commissioner Hanke moved to indefinitely postpone the bond and, you know, all that stuff, right?
Right.
And executive director to bring back analysis of option, you know,
gotcha.
Reimburse. So, yeah.
Okay. I'm
okay. Okay.
Good. Okay. Any other discussion on that? Okay. Then we'll move on to item B, commission workshop and meeting calendar.
Great. And so we have a revised one that was handed out here, and hopefully we can fairly small, hopefully we can all read it. We do have quite a few things for consideration of policies and other workshop items. I consider calendars like this always a working draft, and so but I wanted to put it in front of the commission and get your input, make sure that we are moving forward with meeting some of the goals of the commission, and that we're lining up our expectations. So with that, the color coding on this item is that the items in a light blue are...
This is what we got.
Oh,
no.
You have a new one. It should be sitting on your desk.
Yeah.
I got
mine here. Here, I've got extras.
Okay.
So the light blue are additional meetings. These were not, I don't believe, will be considered special meetings because they're not business meetings. They are just workshop. We will, of course, notice them appropriately, but they are kind of outside the normal meeting schedule of the second and fourth Wednesdays of the month. So we'll be looking at adding the meeting of next week on the 20th, and that would be to look at both 2018 as well as then the five-year capital plan. And
so the problem with that is we're not, I mean, we're geared for the second and fourth.
That is correct.
So,
that is correct. And so,
you're not wanting us to change our calendars. Okay.
Yep, that's why we're looking at this and trying to balance the keeping with our normal schedule as well as
I would call an appropriate and kindly pressure on us to keep moving forward with the petition for consideration of these. So yes, it is an additional meeting, and wanted to just move some of this business through the commission.
Do we have a proposed time? Do we have a date?
We have a date. Commissioner Hanking, in particular, I understand that the 1 o'clock meeting times are more difficult for you to meet, and so perhaps the later in the afternoon is better, or is that?
No, I'm good with that.
Okay.
Are you talking about 1 o'clock meeting or 1:30 workshops?
Well, this is an interstitial workshop, right. So it doesn't have a commission meeting.
Interstitial.
Yeah, that's the word.
Yeah.
He's in between.
We can, let's put this way, we can have this at the commission's.
Interstitial.
Yeah, so when do you want to have it? 1 o'clock work?
Works good for me.
Works good for you?
Giant, whatever.
1 p.m.?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm retired.
Can we? 6:20. Haven't we already had a workshop on the 5-year capital goals in March? Didn't we go over a calendar of 5-year capital
goals? No, we went over the 2018 plans, and we did not look at the 5-year plan. So
just what I did on mine, mm-hmm. Here's mine. We can do it, that's fine, it's great, mm-hmm. But it seems like we keep approaching this 5-year capital plan thing without a real strategic plan. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of like, it's a little awkward to kind of not have discussed what's our strategy, mm-hmm. and then mm-hmm. from that, look at what our capital plan mm-hmm. is. So, mm-hmm. And by strategy, I guess I'm talking about, we're getting so much money in mm-hmm. the till, so our a portion of that's going to go towards fixing things. A portion
right.
of that's going to go towards
right.
developing programs,
mm-hmm.
marketing, things like that. And so how do we discuss 5-year capital plan if we don't really know how much money we're going to have?
We will have in this discussion a projection of our cash flow with an apportionment of what would be going for maintenance and repair, including those of a larger amount. As well as then what we can realistically anticipate from existing grant programs, et cetera. So we will have some funding strategies matched up with that for this 5-year discussion.
So then I guess the other question is, are you putting it in June because it's critical to know what you got coming up?
I'm putting particularly the 2018, and I absolutely see your point, Commissioner, in that we have maneuvered around this a couple times of what is our overall strategy. And if you'll, what I have marked down here is, let me find my place on. On the 3-year.
It's in 8:15.
Thank you. 8:15. So 3-year strategic goals. Here's the conundrum that we find ourselves in is that we have capital needs that exceed the executive director's spending authority that we should be accomplishing in 2018. And so I would like to get direction from the commission on those 2018 expenditures. I think those need to be taken in the context of what our other upcoming expenditures are going to be. And I also see that we've not really laid out a 3-year strategy or a 5-year strategy for the organization. So it's a bit of what comes first, chicken or the egg. And I absolutely see your point. We could make the 20th of just, okay, really, what are we gonna do on the 2018 expenditures and give you a look into the future of what our anticipated cash flows are, and then have the 3-year strategic goals update in August, and then do our 5-year capital plan after that. That would be just as workable from the staff end. So that's somewhat at the that is at the commission's discretion. And I understand there's which comes
yeah.
first, the chicken or egg.
Yeah. So I would go for that. I mean, that would be mm-hmm. my first blush at it.
Go for which?
To get to for 2018 and 5-year capital plan,
mm-hmm.
look at just the 2018 capital expenses that we need to accomplish this year. Get through our strategic goals in August, right?
Mm-hmm.
8/15, and then somewhere beyond that, have another, what did you call it, Bill? What was that word?
Interstitial.
Have another interstitial meeting. September or October that looks at the five-year
capital plan. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I would
think. I think though that I will tell you that I think that the capital plan, the 5-year, just to have a run at it now, which will help inform you on what kind of strategies you want to employ. Because it's going to drive a really critical aspect, and that's just talking about our cash reserves and cash flow.
Yeah. So I think we can still present that. We will have those cash flow projections, and we can say, this is what we're predicting that you would have available. We can still give you a preview on these are the projects that we really feel like you're gonna need to address and accomplish. So we can kind of give a preview of it, but not spend as much time on it and get and prepare it for adoption.
Okay.
I have a question. Prep time notwithstanding, but on these meetings that come in between our regular times and we have already have a workshop and a commission meeting, with starting in the morning and continuing the workshop in the afternoon and kind of doubling up on some of these things that are really, you know, in the way of each other, kind of pushing them, compressing them closer into the beginning rather than the end of the year. I mean, we're already halfway through the year, and we're still talking about 2018. Mm-hmm. If we take much longer to talk about 2018, there won't be any 2018 left.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What are goals for mid-year review?
That is just really for staff to understand what the commission is looking for both the mid-year review. You know, we're going to be, you know, here we are with budget. Here's what we've accomplished. I think it's also setting us up for that that 3-year strategic goal and putting items on there. Like, we know that we're going to be updating the comprehensive scheme next year. So we're going to get a preview, and here are some things that are going to be feeding into the budget, feeding into those 3-year strategic goals, and making sure that the commission is giving the information that it wants in our mid-year review.
Because the comprehensive scheme actually has a due date that's assigned to it by the state.
Yes, mm-hmm, exactly.
What's that due date?
Is 2019.
The end of 2019?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That is correct. That end of the calendar year 2019.
I would not like to speak to that. I mean, there is a date. I think the funding agencies want regularly refreshed comprehensive schemes or plans to know that they're funding projects that have been duly considered and are in the pipeline of the relevant jurisdiction. I'm not aware that at least like RCO has a drop dead date. They have a deadline within the year that is related to funding requests. And if you are due for a periodic, like update of your plan, you need to have done it by a date. I think it's in March actually, in order to make application later that year. But I don't want to speak generally.
I think
we're due for an update.
I think the last quarter of 2018 is an ideal time to talk about 2019 rather than wait until the second quarter of 2019. So,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, for me.
Mm-hmm. So, Sam, I'm just trying to understand here. So, you've got at the moment, you have on 6/20 this 5-year capital plan
right.
For 2018. For the meeting on the 27th, the end of June,
mm-hmm.
You have amend 2018 capital budget.
Oh, I'm sorry, that is a mistake. That should not be there. Thank you for.
And then you have capital improvement budget for as a workshop on.
Oh no, I'm sorry. That should be. That's for the 27th. So for the 20th, we would on the workshop on we talk on the 20th. And we get direction from the commission on projects to complete in 2018, the remainder of this year, and then we would actually amend the capital budget the next meeting, a week later.
And then how does, I guess, just kind of looking through this, how does this kind of dovetail into our discussion about whether or not we keep the bond and reuse?
I'll have to put that back. I've not incorporated that into this calendar yet.
Okay.
Yeah. But it will dovetail into it as to which projects that we are going to accomplish, and we'll have some, and here's how we can finance them. Okay, we are, so we've had discussions about the leasing policy. We've had discussions about overall business practices before. The rest of this calendar in July then is looking at other elements of an overarching policy document that includes the capital improvement budget and the operating budget, then cash reserves, cash management, investment, debt, and operating budget. Well, what I am thinking is that we will have a discussion on all these separate elements. We will then combine them into one master policy document that will have these separate elements in them, and that we would then be bringing that forward for legislative consideration in August with a two-touch. We could, you know, we could actually announce it as a public hearing if you'd like. We'll just have the two-touch consideration on the calendar, but to give ample time for consideration for that with adoption, that can then help us, that will inform our budget, our ongoing budgeting process. I'd also like to emphasize that this is a draft on document, particularly when it comes to the budgeting process. Ms. Berg will actually bring her official recommendation for the budgeting schedule to you here at a later date, and you'll actually adopt that schedule as part of your normal budgeting process. But these are kind of, you know, what were my best guesses of where we'll be having things, but she'll bring that to you for approval.
Can you explain what you mean by adoption of budget process?
So it is the process where Ms. Berg brings you the calendar and the process and says, here's the dates that we'll be having discussions. Here's the date where you'll have your public hearing. Here's the date that we anticipate that you would actually be having consideration and adoption of the budget.
So it's just the schedule. It's not
the
really
process.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's pretty much the schedule.
Yeah.
I was confused.
Was there supposed to be operating budget on those two workshops? Since 7-Eleven and 7-25?
Oh, no.
So where should it be?
It should be on the first one. Okay, so we do have a couple more interstitial workshops in July and again in August. So if this looks, again, you don't need to take action with us today. It's just this type of feedback that we're looking for, making sure that we're meeting the goals of the commission, moving business along at the clip that you would like to, and making sure that we're covering the topics.
Mm-hmm. I'm good with that.
Okay.
So since we don't need to make a decision, we did.
Yep.
Okay, so the next item up is staff comments.
I don't have any additional comments to make.
I just want to thank and recognize the yard crew. Not that we're doing going to have a good year so far, year to date, and the May is going to be a good year just financially, but Also, just the raw numbers for the haulouts, for example, the year-to-date for the both the 75 and the 300 ton are the tops in the year-to-date numbers, so for the past 5 years. And I know those guys, the whole crew is hustling and working really hard, and Sean Smith has really ramrodded a lot of work through, but the whole crew is really stepping up, and Terry Kyle is the yard manager. So I just want to, you know, recognize that they've done a really good job and continue to do a great job. And then, for example, we have stuff that just comes up that, people don't really see, it might be invisible. Like last night, I get a phone call from the answering service saying that, hey, you lost power over at Point Hudson on the dock. And so I call up Larry and Terry and Sean Wiles, and Sean and Terry were available to go down and they fixed it for the tenant. I think they were down there at 8 o'clock and then had to go over to maintenance shop, get the tools. Sean went back over and they get up and running for those tenants. And I know that they appreciate it. And it should just, I don't want to go unnoticed, but that's not necessarily an unusual thing. I just don't think we always recognize some of the things that they do. That's about it.
No, Bart.
Just a reminder, I think most of you already know this, that the runway at JCIA will be closed all day on Tuesday, June 19, from 8 a.m. until 5 p.m. for stormwater site investigation work being done by Landau with the assistance of Seton Construction in support of the phase one engineering on the runway rehab project.
You get a chance.
No comments.
Okay, no comment? Okay.
Nothing.
I don't have anything, thank you.
Okay. Commissioner comments.
Who's looking at me? Lovely time in Vancouver. We had a WPPA meeting. For anybody that's interested in and I'm going to start doing these, I've done them up to now. I'm going to start making them available for the public rather than have them available as a public record request. It's kind of my log of meetings and things I've taken. So in the interest of transparency, you can find out what I do all month. I attended a curb broadband meeting on June 4th. It was very interesting. The state really wants rural counties to have broadband. They just and they're offering planning grants and construction grants and all kinds of stuff. And I think that it's an opportunity possibly for the port in collaboration with the PUD to do something to kind of push us kicking and screaming kind of into the late 20th century. Went to the county comp plan hearing, made some notes with the planner about some of the comp plan information that conflicts with reality. With regard, especially to the airport property, they consumed our Echo Industrial Park as part of the airport essential services. So that fixed that one.
What was that?
So they did a map. It's part of the comprehensive plan. They redo all their zoning maps and everything, and they included that in the package.
And this is whose map? This is like
county
KMDCD?
Yeah. So we have that 23 point whatever acre.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they've included that into the airport essential public service zone, and kind of deleted our industrial thing that we paid good lawyer money for. And fought with the city and county over, and it kind of pointed out to them that there was an error there, so they're taking that back to fix that. So,
good job.
Yeah.
Right. What else? Not much. Just some future date. Part of my grumbling about voting for the warrants this month is a note that we're paying like 6 kilobucks to Skookum a month, $72,000 a year. Mm-hmm. And that seems like a lot. I don't know how many offices we have cleaned, but golly gee.
Yeah, and they're not paying as much rent.
Like a dollar.
Zero. Well, I think it's zero, actually. Huh?
It's a dollar, right? Dollar a month.
That's my understanding.
So.
And they're not doing the thing that prompted them to be there in the first place, making jump ropes.
Yeah, apparently we don't have a use restriction on what they do or who they are or anything, so we're kind of stuck with the lease that, you know, but I'm done.
Okay. And I went on vacation part of last month, but even on my vacation, I looked at ports and I stumbled into Garibaldi. And Garibaldi is an interesting port just north of Tillamook. And the first thing I was struck with was how huge the RV spots were. I mean, it was acres of RV, and they were full. The weather was beautiful. And there's not a lot of fishing going on. I mean, there was a bunch of, for some fishing, it's not like there was a salmon run or anything like that. It was just bottom fishing and crabbing and so on like that. And then I noticed that their marina was just chock full of little boats. And then they had this interesting thing on the point. It was a big tent. Giant tent, big white tent. It was just people buzzing around. The place was just really active. And I've been up the coast into other, like, Depot Bay and Newport and places like that. Not much going on. But in Garibaldi, the place was a buzz. And I went and looked in the restroom. And they had one restroom in the middle of a gravel parking lot. And, oh, by the way, the parking lot for the boat trailers, and there was a lot of boat trailers out there. And it was paved, but it was you know, like ours, the grass was brown, and the restrooms, and I actually have some pictures, but I see our screens are turned off. But you walked in, and it was cinder block, and the cinder block had that white stuff leaching through it,
yeah.
You know, like salt leaching through it, okay, yeah. And it was really not appealing. And I thought, wow, that makes ours look like the Taj Mahal. But then I stood back, and I looked, and I thought, you know, these guys don't care. People here all over the place. The place was buzzing with activity. It was full, and that reminded me of the time just prior to that.
Is this your bicycle again?
What's that?
Is this your bicycle again?
My bicycle.
Never mind.
No. Prior to that, I had taken a trip down to Swantown, which everyone says, "Oh, you gotta have your stuff look like Swantown." Swantown's the goal that everyone should emulate. So I went to Swantown just to look at it, and I pulled into the parking lot. I pulled into the parking lot, and wow, the grass is pretty. It wasn't like Garibaldi. It was mown and manicured and curbs and gutters, and I saw the restroom, the shining example on the hill, and I went in to look in, and it was locked. So then I went and looked at all of the ramps on the other boats, all locked. I looked around to see if I could find somebody to ask, well, where's the restroom today? Nobody was there. It was a beautiful day. So I walked up the next one, and there was another restroom that was locked, more locked gates. I walked up, four restrooms were locked, beautiful manicured lawns, didn't see a single person, gorgeous day. I finally went to the boat ramp and found a single stall that was unlocked, and it was really pretty in there, but I thought, oh man, that is the most unwelcoming thing I've ever seen. And then I went back and got my car and realized I'd parked in a spot that I wasn't supposed to. I could have been towed. So that, you know, if I had a choice, I would choose Garibaldi. I think that, to me, that just points out why people like Port Townsend. It's because we're real and we're what we are. We're a genuine article. We're not part of that. That's my point.
Okay, going back to draft leasing policy. Mm-hmm. So on your calendar, I don't see where we're coming back to that.
That would be, again, rolling it in with all the other policies for consideration for later in August. So I would roll it in with all the other policies.
Is that the mid-year review?
No.
First
touch of policy.
Policy, that's the whole.
Second touch of policy, okay. All right, so
like with this, I have quite a few comments I wanted to integrate mm-hmm. into that. Mm-hmm. Are we going to have time to get through that if we're doing all the policies on one day?
I think we had talked about in the workshop that we would have, that we would come back, and obviously not reflected in your schedule because it was done before we got here, but that we would, you know, kind of mark up all of our mm-hmm. drafts, bring it back to a workshop, you know, work out what elements we wanted in it, and then give it back to staff to bring back up. So that should be done sometime pretty soon.
Yeah, so what workshop would that be? Mid-year review? Well, that would be good.
So what I'm hearing is a request for an additional workshop on this calendar to look
or
at.
Or just an additional, yeah.
Additional item on a workshop?
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How about 7/18?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then my only comment, I went to good old passenger only ferry kind of reared its head again, and a lot going on in that world, particularly with Kitsap Transit and the taxing authority that they have. And there were some interesting panels. It was in Seattle. It was kind of a who's who of Olympia and Seattle, and really a lot of interest from communities like Renton and Kenmore in terms of creating passenger ferry across Lake Washington into Seattle. And one of the things that came up, I actually spoke to it a little bit, was the lack. When you look at it from an operator's perspective, it's very hard to find infrastructure on shore to dock a boat. It's not that hard to build a boat and to run a boat across the water. It's really hard to figure out an intermodal infrastructure facility like what Port of Kingston has with their passenger ferry dock, which was actually built by private individuals and just happened to be sitting there. So that's kind of something for us to think about as a port, that, you know, whether it's Union Wharf or City Dock or something like that, if we ever really want to entertain passenger ferry dock, we need to create that type of intermodal capability where people can get a car close to it and then get to it and walk onto a ferry boat. Not to throw City of Port Townsend on the bus, they were invited on a panel. Deb Stinson was, and she wasn't there. I almost went up and sat on the panel because I wanted to see Port Townsend should have been represented. It was, they had like a couple of communities on Whidbey, and a couple of communities like Des Moines was represented as well. And so it would have been good if we were represented. But it was a really interesting discussion, and I think we're going to hear more and more about it. I know the governor is very keen on this whole passenger ferry thing and trying to get people off the road, so more to come, I think.
Okay.
I don't remember where it came up, but the issue one is that the city's continuing its march towards making Water Street a pedestrian mall, and the subject came up about the Memorial Field and what bad condition that is, and that maybe, you know, the port and the city and the county ought to make something there to create some structured parking or something. And so maybe tying that in with some development on the water for a passenger ferry terminal.
Well, I know more and more I hear that the city wants the back 40 or some part of the back 40 because they turned Water Street into a mall.
And yeah.
I can tell you that as long as this commissioner is sitting here, that's not going to happen. So good luck with parking in the back 40.
Well, yeah, that's why, you know, parking in the basement of the Memorial Field might be more attractive.
Absolutely.
And this is informal, but I did have a conversation with the county engineer, and he informed me that there are deep restrictions on that property by the original donor of the property that limited its use to recreational sports only. So I think they have been able to do some other event parking and things by you know, kind of squeezing that definition in. But his and this was, I don't want to, this was not a deep analysis or anything, but he was familiar with the deed restrictions and doubted the viability of the option of using that property for any type of longer term parking.
Now I make a good legal question. Is there any anything that would prohibit condemnation from overriding deed restrictions if the city or the county deemed that the highest and best use for that was a parking lot with a field on top of it?
You don't, wouldn't condemn them. There's a process where you can go to court and have the deed restrictions removed. So, depending on how old the deed restrictions are, if it's no longer a viable use. And I'm not familiar with the process. I know that there was a case in Thurston County where that was the argument. It was deeded forest land, you know, and it, time had gone by, and it's an acre of forest land surrounded by condominiums.
Okay, well, thank you. So, the next public workshop and regular meeting will be on Wednesday the 20th.
At 1 p.m.
At 1 p.m. Wait a minute. I thought we decided we were going to... Oh, that's the 20th. Okay, at 1 o'clock.
And can I interrupt... originally, it looked like we weren't going to be having a workshop on the 27th, but on the revised calendar, it shows we are. So right. On the 27th, we'll have the workshop at
3.
We're going to have that at 3 now?
3 o'clock, Pete?
3 o'clock?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the meeting at 5:30 on the 27th. And this will all be noted on our website.
Okay, so now we're going to...
Thank you.
We're going to adjourn the regular session and go into an executive session to review the performance of a public employee pursuant to RCW 42.30.110G.
And we anticipate being...
What's that? How long?
That's what I was asking. How long?
That's what I'm asking. How long? Half an hour?
37 minutes?
30 minutes.
Half an hour, no actions anticipated.
And no action anticipated.